Well, grace and peace to you, brothers and sisters in Christ, from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, if you remember back over the last few weeks, Jesus has been having a little bit of a tough time. 2 weeks ago, we heard about how Jesus confronted this woman, or was confronted by this woman, perhaps, and Jesus didn't respond all that well. He said to her, "It's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." Jesus acting badly, perhaps. Jesus in a moment of not knowing what way to turn and how necessarily to offer the love and forgiveness that God has called all of us to give. Last week, we saw this argument that the disciples and Jesus engaged in, literally telling each other to do something that we try to tell our grade school children not to do, and even calling out one of his disciples and putting the label of Satan on that one. Again, not perhaps Jesus' finest hour, but perhaps a needed opportunity to say, you must listen. You must stop. You must give your thoughts to what I am saying. These are the pages in the Bible that we'd really rather not see. They're the times in the life of God, in the life of people, that sometimes we really would rather forget ever happened. The times when Jesus lost his temper, the times when Jesus allowed his feelings to get the best of him and overflowed with righteous anger. Or times when the Spirit of God moved through the community, not to bring life, but to bring death. Or times like in our Jeremiah reading today, when according to the King James Version, it says, "Let me see, O God, thy vengeance." Not necessarily the prayer that I would commend for each and every day. We'd like to think that the Bible is that divine, holy book of wonderful stories and beautiful metaphors for all of us to be able to wrap our minds and our heads around. And yet we know that the Bible comes from human minds and from human hands. Divinely inspired, yes, as is much of what we do in our world, much of how we engage in our lives, and yet fallible to the extent that we do not always make the right choice. And so the Bible is filled with stories where people make choices and extend down roads that perhaps we shouldn't, or run away from those ways that God has called us to engage in life and hope and salvation. So it's no wonder that the Bible is a little confusing to people. People in Jesus' day perhaps even found some of what had been written in the ancient texts hard to understand. We find it hard to understand today. We find it hard sometimes to recognize what is God trying to tell us, what direction is God kind of trying to call us into, and we wonder what in the world God is up to. But those are the times that we trust. Just like all times of goodness and hope and creativity, even in the questions, even in the despair, God will bring God's grace. God will bring that presence which allows us to rethink our lives, rethink how it is we have spoken in the past, how we have engaged with one another. Perhaps even this talk of Jesus to take up your cross and follow me isn't just a one-time deal, but an everyday sort of engaging in the confusion and the grit of life so that we too might remember that we bear the burden of sharing God's gifts, God's love, and God's grace with others, and maybe even recognizing that we need to share it with ourselves. For where Jesus goes, we go. And the cross that Jesus carries for us and our salvation is the cross that we carry, that others might see it in us and on us and with us, not as a burden for us just to bear, but that we might bear it for others. And so in today's text in the gospel reading, it's the disciples' turn to behave a little badly. They're getting a little mixed up with what Jesus has said. He's been teaching them again that the Son is to be betrayed into human hands, that he's to be killed, and that after 3 days he will rise again. And this arouses questions in the midst of the disciples. They don't know how to wrap their heads around this. They don't know how to understand what it is that Jesus is trying to tell them. And to tell you the truth, they probably feel a little bit afraid, because if this happens to him, what might happen to them as well? Times of confusion and fear are probably the worst times to make decisions. Like going to the grocery store when you're hungry and allowing yourself the temptation of going down the cookie aisle. Sometimes we don't make the best decisions. Maybe you remember this little commercial about decisions.
Let's hide in the attic.
No, in the basement. Why can't we just get in the running car?
Are you crazy? Let's hide behind the chainsaws.
Smart. Yeah, okay.
If you're in a horror movie, you make poor decisions. That's what you do.
Shh, I'm being quiet. Breathing on me.
If you want to save 15% or more on car insurance, you switch.
The disciples today make a bad decision. They begin arguing among themselves. That hasn't happened to any of us, has it? They begin to argue about who among them, which of them do they think is the greatest? Peter has just displayed his pride and arrogance. Maybe they're knocking Peter down a few notches. Ha! I told you, Peter, you're not as smart as you thought you were. You know, I would have never said something like that to Jesus. Ha ha. Who among them is the most perfect? They take this message that Jesus is trying to share with them, this message of what it means to give yourself away. They reject that for the sake of choosing power over compassion, wealth over generosity, and self over others. And this is exactly what we do in our lives, isn't it? When we, in our confusion and our fear, suggest that power and wealth and our own sense of pride and privilege should be the thing that we enter into the world bearing, so that we can, in our arrogance, make the world the way we think it should be. Thank you very much. Except that in our relationship with Jesus, in Jesus' relationship with all of us around the world and in all of life, these are the things that overpower us. These are the things that draw us away from Jesus, taking us to a place that we do not want to go. But the antidote that Jesus prescribes is the antidote of a child. A child placed among the disciples. A child placed in that midst of arguing and jockeying for position as to who is the greatest. And let us remember that Jesus doesn't choose this child because the child is cute. This is not a message of how wonderful and how beautiful and how innocent children are, except that children are vulnerable. Children are weak, children are pushed aside in our world so that power and wealth and our own ambitions can be lorded over children and anyone who we deem to be children. child is placed in the midst of the disciples as Jesus says to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all." Jesus says, let go of power. Let go of wealth. Let go of the self. Take up your cross and follow me. It's not that different from what James says in James's letter that we heard read today, where James says those issues of envy and selfish ambition, they come from disorder and they cause wickedness in our world. And conflicts and disputes among us, they are from your cravings that are at war within you. Let go of those things to allow God's love to enter in. Instead, James says the power of the child is the power of purity and peace and gentleness and a willingness to yield and mercy and good fruits and impartiality and not a trace of hypocrisy. The one who is vulnerable, the one who is pushed aside, the one who displays what the rest of the world would call weakness in our world is the one that Jesus holds up as the greatest. Jesus calls the church and all the people of the world to take on that mantle of the child, to draw that innocence and that hope into ourselves that we might allow weakness to possess our souls, to bring us to grace and acceptance of all, love and hope, not just for ourselves, but for our neighbors, maybe even for our enemies that are around us, that God's love may embrace the whole world. For remember, Jesus was teaching them that the Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him, and after 3 days, he will rise again. Let us rise with Jesus, and in the power of the resurrection, share hope and goodness with all. Amen.